This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Taking to the paper.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Barack Obama says doing nothing could lead to an economic disaster. In an editorial in this morning's Washington Post, the president said each day that the nation waits on fixing the economy, more jobs, savings, and homes are lost. Mr. Obama says his more than $900 billion economic stimulus plan is not just a short-term fix, but an economic growth strategy. The U.S. Senate is weighing in on that package, of course, and America's foreign trade partners are breathing a sigh of relief today after lawmakers watered down the controversial Buy America provision. That's given global business a chance to get in on the stimulus package. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Foreign companies smell opportunity in the stimulus bill. Take green power. The bill, if it passes, would bring $150 billion into clean energy. And China has nurtured this sector for years to clean up polluted skies. Beijing attorney Lester Ross says one of the most advanced industries is solar panels.
There's been a great deal of investment here in China. And China, of course, has a number of advantages in terms of costs. So China has become quite competitive in this regard. And a number of Chinese companies have attracted foreign capital to help them to grow faster.
U.S. infrastructure projects would draw Chinese bidders, too. Everything from steel suppliers to drywall to copper wiring. The Buy America clause remains in the House bill, so foreign governments in Europe and Japan continue to lobby Congress. Beijing has been more muted. But an official at the Commerce Ministry tells us that China is negotiating behind the scenes. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Well, not much direction in overseas markets this morning. Asian markets were mixed. Hong Kong rose. Japan dropped. Dow lost about 1.5% yesterday to close under 8,000. NASDAQ and S&P shares were basically flat, but down just a tad. European stocks are slightly lower this hour as well. Interest rates in the UK are likely to get a bit of a snip today. The Bank of England can't take the rate much lower before hitting zero. That's good news for British business, right? Not necessarily. Here's our man in London, Stephen Beard.
At 1.5%, Britain's key interest rates are already at an all-time low. Many Brits say they should go even lower. The country is sliding into its steepest recession for 60 years. Many British economists are calling for a cut in rates down to 1% at least. But a group which represents most of the UK's small businesses says, forget the cut. We don't want it. Their spokesman is Stephen Alan Bretis.
Our members, small businesses, are saying, why don't we hold our horses? That'll be a wiser move, a hold today on interest rates, a wiser move by the Bank of England.
He says the real problem for the economy is that the commercial banks are still extremely reluctant to lend. A cut in interest rates won't change that, he says, but it would mean a lower return for savers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
All right, Bill Gates was speaking to the Technology, Entertainment and Design Conference in Long Beach, California. They call it the TED Conference there. And he wanted to make a point about malaria, which is spread by mosquitoes. He says the disease is killing way too many poor people around the world. So he brought some mosquitoes to the conference in a jar, saying they were infected with malaria. And then he let them loose on the crowd. Of course, the mosquitoes weren't infected, but you can hear the headlines now. Gates causes big buzz at conference. Or here's my favorite. Microsoft founder releases more bugs into the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, ConstantContact.com. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
In Cleveland, Ohio this week, a retired schoolteacher left $2 million to her alma mater, Baldwin Wallace College. In this economic fallout, it's the kind of help every university could use. And educators in Australia want to know what they can do to get more alumni support. So they brought a group from Yale University down under to give them some pointers. Naomi Lewin reports.
If you can't beat them, join them. At least that's what Ian Chubb would love to do. He's the head of Australian National University, the country's premier research institution. Over bacon and eggs at the ANU campus in Canberra, Chubb laughed about his money situation.
We have an endowment of around about $150 million. It's a micro fraction of what the big American universities have.
For instance, Yale University has an endowment of $17 billion.
We will never get anywhere like the US system because the Australian attitude is the government provides.
And he's not kidding. At a reception, I met ANU grad John Goss. Goss loves his alma mater, but it's not on his list of worthy causes.
I pay my taxes, and it is from my taxes that the university should be funded.
Mark Dahlhopf is director of the Association of Yale Alumni. He knows without an emotional investment, people won't give.
If we don't connect them with their head and with their heart, you're not going to connect them with the pocketbook.
So Dahlhopf brought 36 Yale alumni to Australia to talk about why they give and projects they've started. ANU is just beginning to keep track of its alumni, something Yale is notorious for. CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, who's a Yale alum, once joked that if Osama bin Laden had gone to Yale, the Alumni Association would know exactly which cave he was in.
The most important thing that the Yalies can teach us in Australia is to think big in giving back to our universities.
That's Michael Kirby, a justice on Australia's Supreme Court. He spoke about an annual conference he attends that's funded by a Yale Law School alumnus. When Kirby described the influence that conference has had on major international legal decisions, it really resonated with ANU alumni. Even skeptic John Goss.
Yes, I would consider donating small amounts of money to such a special project.
Australian National University is now starting several alumni programs inspired by the visiting Yalies. They hope the money will follow. In Canberra, Australia, I'm Naomi Lewin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.